Welcome to the Erie First Podcast, the weekly message series featuring Pastor Nicole Schreiber. Who is the Holy Spirit, and how do we experience more of the Holy Spirit in our lives? That's the core question Pastor Nicole has been asking in her series called Spirit Lead Me. So far, we've talked about how the Holy Spirit acts as a helper or an advocate that brings God's power into our lives. Last time, Pastor Nicole shared about the sometimes controversial topic called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She talked about speaking in tongues and the difference between having a private prayer language with God and the public sharing of tongues and interpretation. Today, Pastor Nicole is talking about spiritual gifts. What are spiritual gifts? Who has them? What are they for? And what do we need to do to make sure that we're operating in our spiritual gifts? That's what she's going to discuss today. So let's get started and discover more about the Holy Spirit. Here's Pastor Nicole.
In this month, we've been learning about the Holy Spirit, and the first week we talked about who the Holy Spirit was. Last week we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and today we are going to talk about gifts that the Holy Spirit gives believers. So we're talking about spiritual gifts. But first, I have an illustration, and I need some, really all the men in the room. So if you're a dad, if you someday want to be a dad, if you have a dad, okay, that's everybody in the room. I need your help. I need your participation. So I brought with me several bottles of artesian drinking water right here. And so if you are a dad or want to be a dad or have a dad, will you come up and get one if you would be a taste tester today? So come on up, grab one for someone next to you if they don't want to come up. Let's get these all gone. Come on up. Take one back for somebody next to you. Okay, once you get it back to your seat, you can pop it open and start drinking it. It'll all make sense in a few minutes, all right? Good, we get them all? Awesome. Oh, all right. All right. So, what is the difference between artesian well water and regular old spring water? What's the difference? Besides $2.50, right? That's what I had written down. How are they different? Well, I want to tell you today about what an artesian well is. Maybe you've had artesian well water before, maybe it's your first time, but an artesian well brings groundwater to the surface without pumping it because it's under pressure. Okay, so take a look at this diagram. You're in science class all over again today. But there is a body of rock or sediment called an aquifer. And these layers of rock or clay produce this positive pressure to the water. And so a well drilled into an aquifer is called an artesian well. And if the water reaches the ground without even drilling, the term is a flowing artesian well. All right, you see how that works? So here's the connection. If you're wondering, Pastor Nicole, where are you going with this? So a lot of times what happens is I read about things and the Holy Spirit quickens to my heart, hey, this is a physical principle that is also a spiritual truth. All right? So if you are a believer in Jesus and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, spiritually, you are functioning like an artesian well functions geophysically. Paul reminds us in 2 Timothy 1:7, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. And so the Spirit of God is inside of you, and he is the positive pressure for power, love, and self-discipline to get to the surface. If you don't have the Holy Spirit of God helping you, then to the surface comes a lot of different things than power, love, and self-discipline. Am I right? Those are the bad days that we have. In Acts 1:8, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Again, this power inside of us, this agent of change, comes from the Holy Spirit who lives in us, and it brings it out like groundwater up from an artesian well. The artesian well flows freely because of the power of pressure from the water at higher levels. Okay, so listen to this. As believers, we are Spirit-led because of the power from on high. That's why we're Spirit-led. All right, does that artesian water taste any better to you this morning now that it has some type of spiritual meaning to it? All right, every time you drink it from now on, Joel doesn't let me buy that stuff because it's not 99 cents, but if you can and you drink it, you got to remember, what is an artesian well? It is spiritually functioning what is geophysically actually happening inside of our hearts. Here's something fascinating. I researched, what does an artesian well have to do in order to function effectively? What are the unique attributes of artesian wells opposed to spring wells? Yes, I did Google that, just in case you guys wondered. That was a joke from a few weeks ago. But I found two things. And I was telling Pastor Andy about this actually this week when we were talking. And I said, listen, I thought I had a sermon illustration. And then when I did some research on it, it just took it up a notch. Okay, so just get ready for these parallels. The first thing an artesian well has to do in order for it to work is to stay low. Stay low. Say that out loud with me this morning. Stay low. If the water in the well gets higher than it's intended, it won't experience the power and the pressure to shoot it out. It'll just be a puddle on the surface. And no one scoops expensive water from a mud puddle to drink it. Okay, you can't market that. And spiritually, God is not subtle about humility. God is not subtle about us staying low. James 4:6, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Ephesians 4:2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Luke 14:11, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Do you see the message here? Stay low. Stay low. Stay humble. In order to live a spirit-filled, supernatural life, continually humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You see, when we're talking about spiritual gifts, we have to be fully cognizant that it is not ever in our power. It is not ever in our might that anything happens. It is never our miracle. It is never our faith that made that happen. It is never our wisdom. It has everything to do with the Holy Spirit springing out of us like an artesian well. Will God use us? Absolutely. But where will that come from? Not inside of us. But because we exalt the Holy Spirit of God and he pulls it out of us like pressure, like an artesian well. All right, here's the second thing artesian wells have to do. It just gets better. Stay low, and they have to stay open. Stay open. Say that out loud. Stay open. Now, artesian wells can scientifically plug up. They can become full of sand or sediment, and they stop flowing. And in some extreme cases, the well gets so clogged that it actually cannot ever be reopened again. Let me say that again, because that will preach. In some cases, artesian wells can get so clogged up that they can never be reopened again. You know, we have to allow the flow of the Holy Spirit to come out of us, or we will get all clogged up. Sin clogs us up, doubt clogs us up, not using our gifts clog us up, offense clogs us up, fear, apathy, the wrong attitude, all of those things can clog us up. But when we stay open, amazing grace flows down from on high. And Jesus said it in John 7:37-39. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and he said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." And by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Yeah, you can give God thanks for that. Stay open. Stay open because the Spirit is intended to flow unimpeded and unhindered through you. Spiritual gifts are not something that are supposed to be random or, yeah, that happened to me once, or that was a really cool moment I remember one time. Actually, spiritual gifts are intended to flow through us unhindered and unimpeded. Yes, that's the word. Unimpeded all the time. All the time. And if we stay low and stay open, God can do incredible things through us. Hudson Taylor, he was a great missionary to China. I love this. He said, depend upon it. God's work done in God's way will never lack supplies. All God's giants have been weak men and women who did great things for God because they reckoned on his being with them. God uses men and women who are weak and feeble enough to lean on him. Stay low and stay open. Here's a simple prayer that I put together that we can pray. It's good. Maybe you should write it down or you can remember it for this week. We can pray this prayer. Jesus, let your river flow through me. In fact, just between you and Jesus right now, will you just pray that to the Lord? Just you and Jesus. Jesus, let your river flow through me. Maybe say it a few times. Just you, between you and the Lord at your seat. So it's important to remember the purpose for the Holy Spirit is what we talked about this last week, that the purpose for the Holy Spirit's power is to be bold witnesses, right? The purpose for the Holy Spirit's power is to be bold witnesses. And we are to be bold witnesses who passionately share our faith and point others to Jesus. And the gifts of the Spirit should never be elevated over the purpose. So we got to stay low and stay open. So let me talk a little bit about the gifts of the Spirit. These are supernatural blessings that flow through individuals for the benefit of others. Okay, that's really important. These are gifts that flow through individuals for the benefit of others. Paul gives us four different lists totaling 20 gifts of the Spirit. They're found in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4. And I'm going to read this list of the 20 spiritual gifts from these passages. And as I read them, I want you to just think in your mind, maybe some that you feel like the Lord has given you, or maybe just ones that catch your attention or things that you've noticed around. Okay, so here we go. Number one, wisdom, knowledge, discerning of spirits, prophecy, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, faith, working of miracles, healing, apostleship, teaching, helps, administration, hospitality, exhortation, giving, leading, showing mercy, evangelism, and pastoring. Now, some theologians believe that there's even more gifts listed in the scripture. These are the most commonly accepted. If you are here today and you would say, I have no idea, I've never even thought about what gifts I have, there is a free little gifts test at giftstest.com. You can see it there at the bottom. You can scribble it down. It's not the end-all be-all, but it'd be a good starting place, maybe a place where you can start a conversation about what gifts that you think that you might have. So I want to talk just about four quick principles when it comes to spiritual gifts. And when I'm talking about spiritual gifts, these are the 20 I'm talking about, give or take a few there, that we're talking about as we look at the scripture. So the first principle is all spiritual gifts come from the same source. Okay, all spiritual gifts come from the same source. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7 gives us insight on this when it says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. And now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit are supernatural, and this says, each of you are uniquely gifted by God. You are one of a kind. You are unique and designed for his purpose and the purpose of sharing the gospel. Not one person is overlooked or left out. And so all believers should operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Why do you have to operate in the gifts of the Spirit? Because you have a gift. Okay, you might not know what it is, but you have it. And you may be gifted in one, two, three, multiple areas. Everyone is different, but God gives it all, and it's all a gift. You didn't do anything to deserve it. If you have multiple gifts or you see someone in your life that has multiple gifts, they are not more spiritual than you. Okay, all of these gifts are straight from God, undeserved, and he gives them to us as he sees as the grace that he gives to us. That's what the scripture says. Principle number two, spiritual gifts should be desired by all. Paul makes it clear that people will be gifted differently, but also he says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So you might say, that's all fine and good for other people, but I'm not really interested. You can't say that as a believer because the scripture says we all should eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. We are to desire the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in our lives, and we need to stay low and stay open. Because when we ignore or don't exercise the gifts, we clog up the well that God could use in us. And if the purpose is for us to spread the gospel and you're not using your gift, then the gospel is not being spread as powerfully or effectively as it could be. See, you have a piece of the puzzle, and when you don't give it, it literally can slow down the work that God has for us. So we have to figure it out. We have to eagerly desire it because God wants the whole world to know this beautiful message of Jesus. And he wants to use us to do it. Now, one caution when it comes to spiritual gifts and in this verse about eagerly desiring them is some people make the mistake of pursuing the gift rather than pursuing what the gift creates. So the gift is only valuable, it's only important if it's creating and building the kingdom of God. What's more important, the hammer or the house, right? We cannot be so obsessed with the hammer that we forget the goal is to build the house. And so the gift is important, but the result of a transformed life is better. That's the goal. So don't miss the target. Eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, but eagerly desire them so you can build the house, so you can build the kingdom, not so you can have a badge on your shirt. Well, I have 18 out of 20. That's not how this works. If they don't build the kingdom of God, they will burn, to be quite honest, all of our works. And so every single gift, better to have one gift that builds the kingdom of God than 15 that does nothing. So you need to make sure that you are building the kingdom of God. Eagerly desire the gifts in order to build the kingdom of God. All right, here's number three. All the gifts are important and all the gifts are needed. 1 Corinthians 12, he gives this analogy of a body. Paul is talking and he says a body has many parts. He says they're all important and the foot cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or the ear tell the eye, that's not important. Or the hand get impatient with the nose because they don't function the same way. We need people with all the gifts. And I think sometimes we err in the kingdom of God and we decide that if it's a gift that I have that someone else doesn't have, maybe that one doesn't seem so important or that one feels a little strange to me. And so we get a little bit resistant to certain pockets of gifts in the word. But the truth is we need all of the gifts. They are all important. They're all needed. We need people with the gift of administration to understand God's divine plan, to make godly objectives, and motivate people to accomplish it. Almost 7 years ago, when I came to lead pastor here, Silvio Scavella faithfully used his gift of administration to pull our church out of a tailspin. His spiritual gift benefited all of us and the future of this church for generations to come. And he showed up and he was ready to use it. And he sat day after day with me until we could figure out the best decisions that we'd need to make. And that was a spiritual gift that if he had not given to the church, we may not be sitting here today, quite literally. We need people with the gift of hospitality, who see what is needed to make people feel comfortable and welcome in the house of God. When people understand who God is through our gifts, we give them a glimpse of the gospel. Hardly anyone does this better than Cindy Lazinski. She's one person in our church who has this gift, and she is constantly sacrificing, making spaces and meals and events. She's probably served so many slices of pizza, you don't even know it, okay? Welcoming people. Jameson Temple is another one. He makes you feel right at home the minute you talk to him. You feel like you've known him for 100 years. We need people with the gift of mercy, like Kim Turner, who sees needs before anyone else does and meets them, and we didn't even know they existed. Or Beth Pettis, who has compassion and the heart of Jesus for people and goes to great lengths to help them feel understood and cared for. We need people with the gift of teaching, like Jay Riggle and Janet Young and Jim Salawada and Jeff Williams. They can challenge God's people to follow his word and build the kingdom if you're 6 or 65. That word of God. I thank God for people with the gift of exhortation, like Michael Estella and John Bryden and Carmi Moore and Adam Frano and Lois Sechrist, people who see and challenge others to become what God has for them. And they say it for better or for worse. You better move in the direction of what God's doing because he has this for you. I'm grateful for the gift of prophecy, which is not predicting the future. It's a bold sharing of a revealed truth. It's a word from God right on time. That's what prophecy is. And I'm thankful for those who speak and are used in the gift of prophecy. I'm thankful for Jonathan Mendoza and Lucy Webster and Stephanie Rupp and Tom and Jess Guadagno. I'm thankful for the gift of wisdom that is faithfully stewarded by Dennis Pistone and Chris Marsh and Linda Forsman, all people in our church who I go to when I need help. Probably when the phone rings and my name is on it, they're going, "What now?" But I know that they have wisdom that the Lord has given them. I'm thankful for the gift of giving that people in our church have. Just a few weeks ago, 4 incredible servants from our church helped another church member move. Her apartment had been infested with bedbugs, and her landlord would not help. A moving company would not help. Door after door after door was closed. She was out of options. But you know what happened? 4 amazing giving servants from our church suited up, and they were the hands and feet of Jesus to this awesome woman. Yeah, give God thanks for that. I could go on. It was very difficult to even decide who to list because you know what? People in our church family who are used by God are plentiful. In fact, preparing for this message, I wrote down all the gifts and I listed all the gifts that are part of our body. And I want you to know every single gift is in operation in our church. And they are all needed and they are all important. Thank you, Jesus. So lastly, spiritual gifts require obedient believers. Okay, don't miss out on this one. God wants to use you in his gifts, but you can absolutely stop the flow of the artesian well with disobedience. Okay, spiritual gifts operate only with human availability. Do you see that? Spiritual gifts operate only with human availability. I do not mean that God cannot move without us. But God can move without us, but when he's operating with the spiritual gifts, he has decided to put those inside of us. So spiritual gifts operate only with human availability. And while the gifts are supernatural, they require willing and obedient hearts through which they might find expression. I want you to know the gifts of the Spirit are not just for church services. They're not just for Sundays. In fact, that's only 1/7 of the week. They should be active in your everyday life. Let me give you some examples. The gifts of the Spirit were in operation when I wrote this message by myself in a quiet office this month. The gifts were there. The gifts of the Spirit were in operation when I recently sensed an opportunity to share about Jesus with a friend, and I spent an extra 30 minutes talking to my friend because she didn't know him yet. The gifts of the Spirit are working when you sense a friend is hurting and you send a text. The gifts are in operation when you give to a need that you see. The gifts work when you sense, when you walk in somewhere and you sense something or somewhere, something is off. You have a discernment. Those are gifts. They're happening all the time. And the more open and sensitive you are to the Holy Spirit, the more you will be used in the gifts. Listen, you don't have to announce that it's God working through you. Let God do the work. Let God do the credit. You just be faithful. to the gifts that God has given you. God wants to use you as an artesian well, a river flowing out of you for the purpose of sharing the best news of all time, that Jesus Christ is alive and he loves you and he loves me and he's worth our whole lives. That's what every gift bears, the love of Jesus. In fact, if you're here today and you don't know the love of Jesus and you haven't surrendered your life to him yet, you need to make that decision today. You need to. You need to make that decision today. I want you to come to the prayer tables to my right and to my left here at the end and just talk with someone about that decision. It is vital. It is important. It's more important than your Father's Day hamburger. You've got to come into a face-to-face reality of who Jesus Christ is. So would you stand? We're gonna sing a song to end today that welcomes the Holy Spirit here. And here's what I'd like to do. I want to invite all of you to come to the altar. Those of you that have gifts of administration, gifts of wisdom, gifts of prophecy, gifts of speaking in tongues, gifts of other tongues, I want you to come to the altar and ask God for the river to flow through you. In whatever way that river of God flows through you, let's just as a church ask God to meet us. Just pray, help me stay low and stay open. Because here's the thing, let's be the Spirit-filled church God is ready for us to be. Let's be that. And what that means is you just say to the Lord, I want to stay low and I want to stay open. Will the river of God flow through me and the gifts that you've given me? So let's just sing this song together as we end today. Holy Spirit, we thank you for all that you give us. We surrender our lives to you. We pray we can stay low and stay open. want to be used by you every day of our lives. We want to be used by you for the purpose of sharing the message of the gospel. So God, would you do that in new ways? Would you do that in new ways in our life this week? We pray that we can be available to everything that you have for us. God, we love you.
Thank you for listening to the Erie First Podcast. We'd love it if you give us a rating and a review on your podcast app, and please subscribe so you never miss a message. You can follow Erie First on Facebook or Instagram, or visit eriefirst.org for all our latest news, announcements, and information. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time.